I think what we're going to be touching on tonight is a fascinating topic, really fascinating topic. The topic of the we'll get there shortly. The topic of wearing a couple head covering. Head covering. Do you need to wear a head cover? Do you need to wear couples or not? You've got to wear couples or not? It's important. When do you need to wear? When do you not need to wear? So we're going to be talking about that. It's an interesting topic. Let's get there, because we first want to talk about putting on shoes. How do you have to put on shoes? How do you put on shoes? Pardon?
The right shoe first, right and the left.
Good. Right,
and
first.
Then you try the left shoe.
That's it.
Try the left shoe first.
Very good. That's absolutely correct. Unless you're left-handed. Okay, let's see that inside. So, Rabbi Yisai, we are up to Simon Base, and we are up to Siv Dalet. I fear that I will forget. Oh, I'm hearing myself twice. Oh, that's your fault. Okay. I fear I will forget an interesting Mishnah Berurah, which is. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah mentions over here more about. I want to just find this inside. We'll get to it in a minute. Okay, Rabbi says Siv Dalet. Yinoil minal yemin tchila. So the way you put on shoes, you put on the right shoe first. Velo yikshirenu, you don't tie it. Then you take the left shoe, you put it on. You tie it. So right, and then so according to the Shulchan Aruch, you put on the right shoe, you put on the left shoe, you tie it, and then you tie the right shoe. Right, left. Tying left, tying right. Pardon?
Isn't this bordering on this bit of superstition? Where do we derive this from the Torah?
Okay.
You do it that way. Isn't it a bit superstitious?
Not at all. Let's just get there. 1 minute. Says the Ramo, Vinalim Shalonu, Eshelim Kshira. And if you've got a shoe that doesn't have any shoelaces and there's no tying required, what do you do then? Yinul Shalimin Tchala, just put on the right one first and then the left one. Is that what we do?
Does that mean Velcro?
Velcro would be the same than tying.
It's not actually tying.
Yeah, but let's see where it comes from. Says Mishnah Berurah. And Siv Katan Hey, that will answer your question, Stephen. Yemin, Shekein Motzino B'Torah, in Siv Katan Hey. That's what we find in the Torah. Shayemin Choshuv Tomei, the right side is more Choshuv. How do we find it? It's in Bein Yad V'Regal. Find it by Samikdosh. We find the right hand came first. It's more Choshuv. Whenever you've got to do a right, so whenever you've got to do something on both sides, you start with the right hand side. So when you go, the Mishnah talks about going up the ramp, the kevesh. You go up the right hand side, and you go down the left. If you're in the bottom, it's on the left side. But when you're up, it looks. So you go up right, and you go down left. That's what we tend to do, right and then left. So why is that superstitious? Stephen, it's just we do exactly what we're meant to do, what the Torah tells us to do.
Okay, I didn't know that was the answer.
How?
A left-handed person.
Very good. Very good. Are you left-handed by any chance?
No, my brother is though.
Okay. So Mishnah Berurah is also always very concerned about left-handed people. So he also, he's not going to forget the left-handed. He's not going to forget the lefties. So, but in, what about tying? When it comes to tying is prioritized to the left-hand side. When we put on the tefillin, for instance, it's going on our left hand. Alright, here's the lefty. If you put on the left hand, a right-handed person is a left-handed person does the other way around. Now, it is interesting because, this right and left, it gets very confusing, and the Mishnah Berurah later is going to discuss, many lefties are not pure lefties. Many left-handed people are not pure left-handed people.
I bat right-handed and
bowl left-handed. Pardon?
I bat right-handed and bowl left-handed.
Right.
That's why you
were. I see. Okay, because a lot of left-handed people, they do some things with the right. You're a bit like that?
I'm right left-handed.
You're right left-handed, but you will... Right. When you can't with scissors, you'll be the left. You'll do left. So it's interesting. I always thought this is so obscure. Come on, either you're right-handed or you're left-handed. You can't, that's like, if you're left, if you have got more, us right-handed people, we can't imagine, if you're left-handed, then do everything, the man Hashem, do everything with your left hand. Until my second boy, who turned bar mitzvah, when we like investigate the thing, we suddenly realized that, he was always left-handed because he writes with the left hand. But upon close inspection, we noticed that it's just the writing that he does with the left hand. Everything else it does with the right hand. And then suddenly I realized that, one second, this is not even so far-fetched. It is very, and because you see the poskim discussing great detail, especially when it comes to Hilchos Tefillin, you want to know if he's meant to put to the, if one is meant to put Tefillin on the right or on the left. So it is, and I will not, there's two things which pop in my mind, besides to my own son, who was a very complex case. It was a very complicated case because he really only the writing he does with left. Plus, with him, it's so much so that even the writing, he can write with the right hand a lot better than I can write with the left. So if push comes to shove, he'd be able to. He can, he had once something with. He broke one his finger, and he's able to. And he had to then write with his right hand, and he was able to do that. I couldn't write with my left hand. So, it was a very complex shaila, and he went up to, but it is quite common when it comes to Hilchos Tefillin, there's a lot of discussion. No, it isn't. And that what reminds me of, I remember there was a younger man in Kollel. I remember so clearly, it was a younger man in Kollel that he did a lot of things with his, he was primarily left-handed, but he did a lot with his right hand. No. Okay, so when I'm talking about a young man in Köln, it was a chassid young man, so he had his father, who is a rav, or a bit of like, nearly like a rebbe a little bit, he said, if you're makbid on, the best is to put on every day tefillin with both hands. He came from that kind of family, the law of chumras, so he was, pardon?
One
bracha, but it should be makbid to put on tefillin. Yeah, so hold on. So he said he put on tefillin every day with his left hand and with his right hand. And that's what he did. It was probably very short-sighted to do that because he was a chassid younger man, and as he eventually started putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And here again, because he had that chumrah of putting on tefillin on both hands, when he was putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he felt to be consistent, and to be fair, he's got to put on Rabbeinu Tam also on both hands. So he put on every single day, this chassid younger man, he put on every single day four tefillin, one bracha, but four pairs of tefillin shelyad. And he did that with all the, it wasn't a good excuse to come late to Köln, actually, I felt. But he did every single day put on four tefillin. So that's that.
Does the shoe bit, does that apply to a woman? Because sometimes women wear
leather. Yeah, it does. So the poskim right, it applies to, yeah, it does, yeah. And I also want to mention my grandmother, if I'm at it, because my grandmother was very interesting. My grandmother would do everything with the left hand besides writing. She did everything with the left hand besides writing. And when we asked her, it was very strange because literally everything would be done, everything was with the left. And just the writing was done with the right. And then she told me something very, very interesting, and I won't forget that. She told me that she came from this, aristocratic kind of Hungarian kind of family. Very, very wealthy, extremely wealthy, and had a very aristocratic kind of background. And she said in those circles, we're talking about the 1900s in Hungary, it was looked down to be left-handed. It wasn't considered posh. So she was, it wasn't right, it was like, it wasn't fashionable to be left. Pardon?
He said it wasn't right, it was left.
So she had to learn how to write with the right hand, but it was only as far as the writing was concerned. Okay, so that's with regards to, yes, but the left-handed person does the other hand. Now in Sif Hei we learn, that when you take off your shoes, you do with your left shoe first. Now, that is all in terms of right and left, left and right and left and right. What about top to bottom, bottom up? Everything. Any other clothing related questions? Yeah. So, there is a probably not so well known Mishnah over here. And the Mishnah says something so, I find the hashkofa of it beautiful and important. He says, I'm skipping the first few words. When you wash, and if you put, if you shmear on yourself some, if you have to oil yourself, you put something on your skin, then here again, yamin tchila. So well, in the shower, right hand comes before the left side. Right side before the left side. Whatever you do first, put right side before the left side. Veim soch kol gufo, if you are, you know, having a shower, on the entire body. Roish tchila. The head comes first. Why so? Why did the head come first? Why did the head come first? Look at this beautiful expression. Because it's the king, it's the king of your entire body, all your limbs. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that inspirational? Because by the yid, the head is the king of the entire body.
That's why I'm wearing a tie for the ship.
Absolutely. I was wondering, you're not coming from biking tonight. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there it is. You think about the head being the king. I love this expression, melucho, the king, the reign of the entire body, as opposed to being controlled by our body and our taivas and our physical. We are controlled by the roish kol evorim, which is the head. It's nice. No, it's a nice expression. The roish is the melech al kol evorim. Now that means lemaisa that whenever you've got whenever you do something, you go from the top down. So that, you know, you're obviously gonna start. He's talking about rechitza washing. You start from the top down, etc. The buttons of a shirt is also a good example. It's probably naturally also what we incline to do. But right, first, left, and if he goes from up down, you go up and down. That's the svara. The roish kol evorim is the svara. Yeah, that's the svara. Because it comes first. I see. Yeah. Okay. I see. It's a direction. I understood that it's a direction, but I hear what you're saying. Why is that? Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. So, right. Okay, Rabbi Sivov. Also, it's interesting. That's brought down the halacha. It's interesting. This is a very interesting one. Sivov. Also, Leilich Bekoim Zukufa. A person is not allowed to walk with a Koim Zukufa, with a very straight, very straight, upright head. It's Koim Zukufa when you're like, how should we translate? Yeah, that's right. You shouldn't walk with a certain. It's a certain posture, which is too proud. Be humble. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara in Sif Katan Tes, two lines from the bottom. Because you're pushing the Ragle Yashchino, it's as if you're pushing away, as it were, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. You are denying Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence by having this kind of posture. So if you're like upright and straight and this proud way of walking,
arrogant,
that's it. This arrogant attitude, even if it's less than 4 amos, even short distances, don't walk around like that. Even if you're standing, don't stand like this with arrogance. It's not about walking, not walking. It's about the way you stand. Okay, and now comes a very interesting continuation of Zevov. V'lo yeleich abo amois begiloi harosh. How many words is this? V'lo yeleich abo amois begiloi harosh. 6 words. It's incredible. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. These 6 words is probably, I don't know. Don't walk bareheaded. Don't walk b'gilui rosh. It's not even a full, it's not even worthy of full seif in Shulchan Aruch. It's just like throwing. Don't walk around arrogantly, and then plus, don't walk around b'gilui rosh. Who would have known and who would have expected? No, this is, I don't know, it's like probably when we think about Yid, it's like the most prominent Jewish male, you know, the most prominent thing we think about, you know, is the couple, you know. It's the couple, and here it is, like mentioned as a, like on a, not worthy of a full halach in its own right. Yeah, there's no question about it. There's no, pardon?
So before the Torah was given, that Avram, would he wear a worn kapel? Moshe Rabbeinu, would he have worn a kapel?
Yeah, I he had a head covering. I don't know what color his kapel was. And what size? But he was definitely covered. Yeah, the headstone was definitely. Yeah. Now, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. I find it a very interesting topic because it's one of those things that there's just been such an incredible transformation in recent generation. There is no question about it. There's absolutely no question about it. That it's one of those things that our generation is far better than even 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. About head covering. It sounds even bizarre. I was just in preparation of this show, I was thinking, when I was a child, you know where I was brought up? There was I can say with confidence, a Talmud Chochem. He was a Talmud Chochem. He was a proper Yudea Sefer. He gave shiurim, proper Talmud Chochem in the Kehillah. And he was a Talmud Chochem. He was working, he was a very successful banker.
They never woke up.
Very from Switzerland.
In Switzerland, that's right.
A banker as a finance,
exactly.
Very
don't wear couples. Didn't wear couples. And that was the norm for many, many years in many, many places. They wouldn't wear couples. And it was the norm. The reality is, if you, we've got to be very genuine and honest about this, because this whole couple, thing is a recent thing. There is pictures of Gdoilim. If you look into it a little bit, if you search well enough, you'll see pictures of Gdoilim that didn't wear couples.
But everyone used to wear hats.
Not necessarily. So they wore hats, when they walked on the street.
And yes, they were.
But in their private homes, they wouldn't wear hats. And it was actually so. It's much more. I think in the Sephardic world as well, it wasn't so. You know, you could look back 100 years ago, look at pictures, you'll see that people didn't wear yeshivas. It was also. It's a recent thing to.
When they make a bracha, for example,
So we're going to speak about that. We're going to speak about that because certainly when it comes to brachas, when it comes to davening, then one must wear a couple. You're quite right. But it is important to realize that when we talk about the couples, we've got to be. It's one of those things that nowadays it's become so common. It's nobody doesn't wear a couple nowadays. It's such a statement. You know, you just try to walk around with that couple and put the couple on before you go to shul. You're going to be, it's like worse than Chil Shabbos. Gimel Averes, you know, it's worse than Shvichas Domim, you know, Ritzich, Gil Aroyes. It's worse than all of that put together. And the reality is, it's very nice. And of course, one should and one can nowadays, it's a free world, and you know, it's great. But, at the same time, we have to know that it's even hard to find, you know, it's not deraisa, it's certainly not deraisa, according to all opinions. It's not drabonon. It's probably in the level of minik minus. It's somewhere around there. I don't know, like, you know, don't like walk out and we shouldn't walk out and go back up. But we've got to realize that it's not something which is of, it's not, especially if somebody doesn't wear a couple, we have to realize that it's not really transgressing anything of, in Switzerland, it's,
well, we read in Parsha Sheet that if someone makes a bracha without a kippah, it's not a valid bracha.
Okay. First of all, it's not so poshut. There's a machlokas about that. Even if you daven and you daven without the couple, it's not so posh. But even if yes, that discussion is only clearly with regards to, we're going to speak about that. I want to talk about that in greater detail. That is, yes, when it comes to brachas and tefillah, sure, one should, of course. But not. I mean, that's the exception to the rule. That's not.
So if the Swiss banker sitting in his office and he's got half an hour spare, and he wants to do some learning. He's left his kippah. Yeah,
he's.
Have you learned Torah or not?
Yeah. They don't forget couples. They will always have. They will never forget couples. Like you don't walk. So we're going to see. I'm just going to put that because just to get clarity in this halacha, there's really three questions when it comes to the couple. I think the chassidic world was always much more makbid, no? I think the chassidic world was always more makbid. But there's really three levels, the three questions. One is, everybody's quick to point to Gemara, which is true. The Gemara does speak about, I forgot who that shared the child, and they said that it looks like he was going to become not a very elichayit. And then she was recommended, the Gemara says, that, you know, put on couple. He should put the head covering on. But like this, he's going to grow in Yirat Shemayim. That was a recommendation. The Gemara, the Amoraim said, if he wants to grow in Yirat Shemayim, he should put on a couple. So we find early sources that yes, a couple helps for Yirat Shemayim. Alright. Does it make into a Torah obligation? No. Does it make into a rabbinical obligation? No. Does it make into a minhag? No. All it teaches us is that what? He teaches us what does he teach us? That Gemara? He helps for Yirat Shemayim. Especially a child, you know, if you want it for some reason, it helps the development of Yirat Shemayim of a person. Alright, okay. That's one area. So we find that Gemara already said it's a good thing to do. The second area of that's what you mentioned when it comes to brachas, when it comes to tefillah, there may be an obligation to put on couple. And that is something which we're going to look at in greater detail as well, Be'ez Hashem, but it's not going to be tonight. And finally, there's one more area of halacha which is fascinating, which is the chiddush of the Taz, and that's based on the goyim. What do goyim do when they go into the? What does the goy do the first thing when he walks into his tifla? What does it do? They take it off. Right, part of their service is taking it off. Right, the first thing they do is they take it off. They take the hats and the head covering off. That's the way it is. So therefore, the Taz says, so if so, taking the couple off would be a problem of chukas agoy. That's where it gets really, really exciting. Right, when you're walking into a shul and you take off the hat, or you take off the couple, that would be a transgression. Probably suddenly, it becomes a problem of a deraisa. Because you're doing like the goyim, the chukas agoy. So that's where it gets really interesting. That really is something which has got no really, I'm exaggerating by saying no, it doesn't have real value, but I'm saying, suddenly you're playing around with the deraisa by simply taking it off, because that's what the goyim tend to do. So that becomes really interesting, and that we're going to be talking about in the Shem. No. So we'll get to that tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Is it because of goyim to emulate the way they...
Yes.
If
you walk into shul, according to the Taz, we'll see. If you walk into shul and you take off your hat because you want to make yourself more comfortable, that would be a chukas agoy.
If
you've got a couple of things, probably it's not a problem because you still, you know. But we will talk about that more. But that's an interesting development. That's interesting. And but it's certainly an area which is, it's a fascinating topic, and especially how historically this transformation took place. It's really, really interesting. And we'll be talking about that in greater detail, despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch only has 6 words about this.
What the Rambam says about Kavod HaShchina, is that
the son of Yerushalayim? That's Yerushalayim, that's all part of that. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll continue tomorrow.